Does our God-given liberty give us license to do anything we want? Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Kenneth Wong is our host. He's an author, teacher, and itinerant speaker. You know, our liberty is not simply a matter of having external freedom or having possession of the formal power of choice. Our liberty consists in deliverance from the darkening of the mind, the tyranny of sinful lusts, and the enthrallment of the will. Looked at from a positive respect, it consists in the possession of holiness, with the will and the ability to do what is right and what is good. Such liberty is possible only in a renewed condition of soul, and cannot exist apart from godliness. In a moment, Kenneth Wong begins his discourse on liberty in the body.
Hello, everyone. I'm really glad to have you join us for this time of refreshing. For those of you who were with us for the previous two talks, you may recall that we were talking about unity in the body. That is the body of Christ, which means the church. We are going to continue looking at life in the body of Christ, and we shall be looking at another important spiritual indicator of church climate, and that is liberty. So we're going to talk about liberty in the body for this and tomorrow's talk. The degree to which liberty is absent or present is a reflection of the spiritual health and state of the church. It makes or it mars the effectiveness and the testimony of the body of Christ. So we see the spiritual condition of the church rests very much on the spiritual condition of its individual members. It's the composite of all the members that make up the character and the culture of the local church, as each one carries something of the fragrance and the presence of the Lord into every church meeting or situation. So again, like unity, this is not something we want to deal with only when it becomes an issue, but it's something we want to keep in view and to preserve and to build upon in the life of the church, and it is not something to be taken for granted. Now, we're going to be mainly looking in the epistle of Paul to the Galatians today on the subject of liberty or legalism. This is a major theme in his letter to the churches in Galatia. The problem of legalism had crept in subtly and reared its ugly head. Now, if a whole letter has been devoted to this major subject of liberty, it must be a critical matter. If we were to consider a blunt question like this, why do churches die? In fact, there is a very interesting book title called Just That, Why Churches Die. I guess a big reason would be this, legalism. This is a serious inward condition that had impaired the life and impeded growth of the Galatian churches then. It's just like a cancer that is inside and it devours the life out of us. It becomes a debilitating disease. It left them bound and fettered. They were unable to move on. A church that has lost her liberty and is laboring under legalism wears itself out by constant intramural tensions and conflicts. Now let's read something from Galatians in chapter 2, and I'll just break in verse 4. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. The context here was that there were false brothers who had secretly come in to the church to undermine their freedom in Christ. And it's very interesting how in that verse, Paul had indicated in brackets the part which says, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. It is almost as if he's saying, listen, I want you to understand what is happening behind the scenes, what is not very obvious or visible, but it's going on and it's coming on strong. And in the next verse, it says, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So he's not taking any chances. He's wanting to enlighten them to the fact that this is happening and to awaken them once more to the true freedom that they have in Christ. Now, this liberty in Christ is really the birthright of every believer. And therefore, it is the birthright of the church. True spiritual freedom is only found in Christ. And it comes as a result of our submission to His Lordship in life and to His headship in the church. This is what John says in his Gospel, chapter 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then again in verse 36 of the same chapter, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Truth liberates. Just as we have considered in the previous talks, truth also unites in the church. And truth primarily is about the person of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, rather than just a philosophy. Back in that same verse where we read in Galatians 2:4, it says that the purpose of these false brethren coming in to undermine the freedom in the church was this, that they might bring us into bondage. The enemy of liberty is legalism. And this is what legalism seeks to do. It seeks to bind and to control by means of legislating and regulating the truth. Of course, at the other end of the spectrum, we also have the enemy of liberty as license, which is the self-declared freedom to do whatever you want. Or another enemy is liberalism, which modifies and manufactures its own truth rather than accepting the truth that is in Jesus Christ. So all these are enemies of true liberty. They can be license, they can be liberalism, and it can be legalism, which is the main thing that we are looking at here. For the churches in Galatia then, this was about an imposition of Judaistic influences, where the law overrode the Spirit, and the teachings of Moses and the Pharisees with all their traditions overtook the teachings of the Lord Jesus. Now, legalism can manifest itself in many forms. And the surprising thing is that sometimes this happens under the guise of good order in the church. It may arise from influences that are outside or inside the church, from within or from without. But they all originate from man, and they are enforced and perpetuated by men. It's driven by a soulish and a carnal desire rather than a spiritual desire. When you have a legalistic operating environment or system, you'll find this happening. The leaders may require and demand conformity to man-made laws and rules and regulations, customs and conventions and traditions. But remember, these are only the means. There is a place for them, but remember that the end is always conformity to Christ. The Lord Jesus often spoke out strongly against the scribes and the lawyers and the Pharisees who were highly legalistic in their religious approach. Now listen to what Jesus said in his declaration of woes to the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, verse 4. He said, "For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." And this is not an isolated statement. Again, in his series of woes in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 46. "Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." Now, lawyers here refer to those who handle the Mosaic law. And it's sadly possible to misrepresent and mishandle the Word of God and the teaching of the law in such a way that it becomes a heavy burden and a stifling bondage to those who come under it. So instead of truth setting people free, truth spoken without love and taught without grace brings people into bondage. What a great contradiction and tragedy this is. There is an air of self-righteousness. The tone is sanctimonious, the feeling that someone else is holier than you. It's an overbearing kind of religiosity, if I may put it that way. And the telltale sign is always this. There is a sense of bondage and it takes the joy out of faith. There are so many house rules set by man over and above what God really requires as revealed in the Bible. Whereas the Lord's way is very far different from this sense of grinding under a heavy load and a burden, a sense of bondage and the loss of joy. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. He said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There is no axe to grind, no personal agendas of anybody else. There's no burden of not being able to live up to the expectations of someone else. Can you now see the difference between true liberty and legalism more clearly? Next, I would like to put these two things together: high compliance and low confidence. Legalism breeds a culture of compliance. When people do things to comply, there is only an external observance of the regulations without a real understanding of what they mean or any inward commitment to what they stand for. Outwardly, they may have a semblance of spirituality and things seem to be humming with efficiency and order. But take a closer look, especially inwardly. You may find that inwardly, people are driven by the wrong motives and the wrong spirit. And it's always dangerous to be driven by anything, even purpose. You see, the Lord and the Holy Spirit leads from the front, not drives from behind. And it's not a good thing if people need to be constantly told what to do, rather than being inspired and motivated to do things on their own. A culture of compliance does not bring out the best from others. They may be high on compliance, but they are low on confidence. They are reticent in their thoughts, they are restrained in their actions, and they are reserved in their speech. There's very little confiding. There's very little trust and certainly very little joy in whatever they are doing. They are not empowered. And there is a high degree of unhealthy dependency that is bred by this culture of compliance. Now, this kind of subtle danger of creeping legalism coming into the churches is not something that only the churches in Galatia were exposed to. Other churches in other places, and certainly down through the generations, are constantly exposed and are vulnerable to the same dangers. And listen to what Paul wrote to the Colossian church. In the Colossian letter, chapter 2, verses 20 to 23, he writes, "Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." Now that's really hard-hitting and detailed. He's saying don't slip back into trying to live by the law and by works, the good old do-it-yourself religion. Don't major on these minors. Don't touch, don't taste, don't handle, which he says are according to the commandments and doctrines of men, not the commandments of God. And these things look attractive when we depart from Christ and relying on Him alone. They have the appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, but Paul says they are of no value at all against the indulgence of the flesh. When there is an undue emphasis on prohibitions and rules of the negative kind, which are self-made and man-made, it creates a wrong sense of guilt and condemnation, which is unhealthy, that is imposed by ourselves or by other men. In fact, it breeds a very critical spirit. And people who operate under such legalistic conditions are very quick to judge both themselves and others by pointing out the failure to conform. It's a very oppressive and repressive and suppressive environment. And Paul is saying here, don't lose sight of the wood for the trees. Don't regress into a situation where you rely on these small man-made efforts to attain righteousness and lose sight of the true righteousness that Christ has gained for you. Now let me tell you a simple homespun parable. It's a tale of a transplanting trio to illustrate the great importance of being able to discern the difference. Here is a well-trained team of three, and they all had very clear, good job specifications, which were these. Number one is to dig holes in the ground, and number two is to transplant saplings into these holes. And then number three is to follow by filling up with the earth, so that the transplanting process is completed. Now one day, it happened that number two was sick and he could not work. So number one and number three were at first pretty worried because they were going to have a tougher time. They wondered how they were going to manage without number two being around. But they ended up finishing even earlier and they were very pleased with themselves. And this is what they did. They simply continued to do exactly the same tasks as they had always been doing, with number one digging the holes and then number three coming behind and filling them up after him. You see, they completed their own individual tasks, but the job was not done. And this is what legalism can do to us. When we think we are doing just great, even without some others, by doing the same things blindly and thoughtlessly and mindlessly, but completely failing to get the job done. And this is what legalism is often like. It's totally blind to itself. And people act like robots, they are mindless and vulnerable, and therefore easily manipulated by others. So how do we prevent this? Let's go back to the Galatian epistle, chapter 5, verse 1, and listen to what Paul exhorts the churches in Galatia to do. He said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. So in other words, he's saying, don't get mixed up. Don't get messed up with all these things again. You're to stand firm and to stand fast. And don't be burdened by these bondages which bind you, which restrict you, and which are going to imprison you and weigh you down. Just keep standing firm and fast in the liberty by which Christ has made you free, and refuse to be moved from that position by any institution or men or system. Now, it's often not easy to be able to put your finger on what is wrong exactly in a situation. There is a form of godliness, but there is a strong denying of its power, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. And this is what causes confusion for many people. The words seem right, but the spirit is wrong. It is so subtle and subversive. It can undermine, it can overturn and destroy like a deadly and treacherous undercurrent. When the sea on the surface looks absolutely calm, so it's not perceptible, but it's definitely palpable. You can feel it. And this is the kind of undercurrent that can carry you away swiftly without realizing the extent or the seriousness of the danger. And it's easy to slip into such a state and regress into a legalistic condition and mistake it for spirituality. This is what the great theologian F.F. Bruce said in his book on Paul, the Apostle of the Heart Set Free. He said, doing the will of God is not a matter of conformity to outward rules, but of giving expression to inward love, such as the Spirit begets. I'm sure you have heard of and know about the famous Statue of Liberty in New York City. That has been a powerful symbol of democratic freedom for generations. But you know, for us, we don't need a symbol or a statue of liberty. What we really need is the Spirit of Liberty. Well, I trust you have been really refreshed by the Lord's presence and reached by His word, which we have considered together.
The Apostle Paul encourages us to stand firm and not to be burdened by bondage which binds, restricts, imprisons, and weighs us down. I also like the words of theologian F.F. Bruce, who said, doing the will of God is not a matter of conformity to outward rules, but of giving expression to inward love, such as the Spirit begets. Thank you for that good word, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join Kenneth Wong tomorrow for part two of Liberty in the Body. Meanwhile, we'd love to hear from you. And here's how you can contact us. Send us a text message to 9431-3813 or send an email to info@timesofrefreshing.asia or send snail mail to Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915714. I also invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, for more information. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.